Good morning. It is time to get up with another field day. The Columbus QB ready for one more chance to prove he should go number two. Meanwhile, Tampa Tom talks, and if you pay attention, you learn the one simple reason he is the greatest of all time. You will hear it coming up. And then you won't believe what Jerry Jones wants Dallas to do at the top of the NFL draft. All that and more on the way as we get up with you starting right now on a very exciting Thursday. Greeny here, delighted you've chosen to get up with us. We put together a great squad to get into all the action from last night and around the world of football for you. But of course, the action today, all eyes are on Augusta, Georgia, Augusta National, round one of the Masters, coverage today on ESPN. And just moments ago, the legendary Lee Elder joining Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player on the opening tee, the ceremonial opening tee shots. There's Jack hitting his right down the middle of the fairway, and they are underway at Augusta. And you see some of the tee times today that will be notable, including Dustin Johnson looking for his pursuit of another green jacket at 10:30 a.m. You can watch him and everybody else today on ESPN and on ESPN+. And we will keep you posted through the morning on how it's going. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about Justin Fields, who is expected to take part in Ohio State's second Pro Day on April 14th. It's important because the Niners general manager John Lynch and coach Kyle Shanahan, who are looking to draft a quarterback at number three, will now have the opportunity to get an up-close look at him. They went to Alabama rather than Columbus for the first day of Pro Days. And as you see, Todd McShay anticipates Justin Fields falling to becoming the fifth quarterback in this class. If you go back several months, it would be quite the surprise for that to be the case. And so let me bring the group that's in here with us this morning to talk about this. Oh, look who's gotten up with us early today. Jeff Darlington is ready to go. D. Wood's going to play that piano for us. And our draft insider, Matt Miller, is going to be with us here today. And Matt, I will start with you. Tim Hasselbeck yesterday said he thinks that Justin Fields has MVP caliber talent, NFL MVP caliber talent. If that is the case, why is everyone projecting him to be the fifth quarterback in this draft?
Hey, Greeny, I think that's the biggest question of the entire draft process right now is what is the difference between what we've seen from Justin Fields over the last 2 years at Ohio State where he blew the game in the Big Ten versus what we're hearing now. And even with mock draft having him as the fifth quarterback selected, I think we're seeing some people look at what happened with Dwayne Haskins, the failure he was in the NFL, and assigning that to Justin Fields instead of like this. These are very different players, very different prospects. So I think that is one key right now, and hopefully that's why John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are taking that trip to Columbus, Ohio. It's not just to get some frequent flyer miles. It's to actually see, hey, is there something to Justin Fields that we have missed? Is there something here that maybe we've fallen a little too quickly for Mac Jones? So the hope would be that they're still evaluating this thing because I think Justin Fields is a fantastic player. He's my number two quarterback in this draft. Why people are overlooking him, I think that's one of the hardest questions to answer right now in terms of NFL circles because everyone's asking the same question. Everyone I talk to says the same thing. Why is everyone overlooking him? Hopefully they're not, and maybe we're just all a little late on realizing who falls in love with him.
Jeff Darlington, what do you hear from people around the league about Justin Fields and the potential for him to fall this way?
Yeah, I would say that if we're all asking why we're overlooking him, it probably means that we're not overlooking him. And that's always the curious thing to me, what will happen on the day of the draft. Every year, and this is not to totally knock the mock draft system, but every year we do have guys that fluctuate before and after the draft. It's ultimately what team falls in love with Justin Fields, and that is what we are about to find out. It's the reason, to your point, about why the 49ers are going to go to this pro day. All it takes is one team. Every year, if one team decides Justin Fields is their guy, they'll be willing to do what it takes to draft him at the appropriate spot.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out again, what we're talking about here is him being drafted something like 8th or 11th. And we're not talking about him slipping into the second day. So falling is a relative term. But 5th in the class is still 5th in the class. D. Wood, you watch him play. What do you think of all this?
Greeny, I think all of this is crazy. I mean, you're talking about, you know, we're talking about like the San Francisco 49ers trading up to number 3. If you trade up to number 3, you're going up to get a guy who you feel has elite traits, things that you can't teach on top of all the other skills that comes what it takes to, you know, to be a quarterback in the National Football League. And for everyone, it's just madness to me how everyone's talking about Justin Fields slipping all the way down to 5. What are people watching? I've watched Justin Fields over the last 2 years dominate the Big Ten, one of the best conferences that we have in college football. He can do it all. On top of the physical traits that I touched on, 6'3", 230, runs a 4.4. You mean to tell me that in the Kyle Shanahan offense, one of the best, if not the best offensive mind, he couldn't take that young man and make him into an MVP type of quarterback? It just blows my mind.
You know, Matt, you've been around the draft process a long time, and one of the things that I find most interesting is the season ends, the games themselves end, and there is one perception. And then we go into the process, and things tend to get reshuffled. And maybe a good description of the entire process would be overthinking. Is it possible that people go into this thing and they just overthink it? And instead of believing what they see on the film, they all of a sudden start going to a bunch of other data that doesn't necessarily add up to anything. Are we overthinking it, or is the league overthinking it on Justin Fields?
Oh, I definitely think so. I call it prospect fatigue, where you've over-evaluated a player, where we've been watching Justin Fields since he was a sophomore in high school. We know who he is. We know how good he is. So I do think that happens, Greeny. It happened last year to Justin Herbert, who was the third quarterback drafted. I think it happens this year to Justin Fields as well, where he is probably going to be the fourth or fifth quarterback drafted, and in 3 years we're going to be like, hey, how'd that guy fall down the board? The NFL's not good at this. And we're going to have these great clips go back to and say, hey, remember when we said he should be drafted a lot higher?
That's certainly possible. So let's leave that there for the moment. We'll have more on that. And then let's talk about a quarterback who was actually drafted 199th. And that is Tom Brady, a sixth-round pick who worked out pretty well. It's been quite a year for him. Of course, March of 2020, he announced that after 20 years and six titles, he was leaving New England. That was his last moment as a Patriot. Then he had a lot of great ones as a Buccaneer, including winning the Super Bowl on the back end of it in their home stadium. And the celebration, of course, was the stuff of legend. And the Bucs are now bringing back all 22 of their starters. And yesterday, Tom Brady talked with Michael Strahan on GMA about why he keeps playing.
It's a top. What more do you have to prove?
I don't think proving it for me is the motivation. Like, I still want to play. You know, I got like a little sickness in me that just wants to throw a freaking spiral, you know what I mean? Also about football, once you stop, you can't go back and do it. I got some more football in me, not a lot, and I know that, but what I got left, I'm gonna give everything I got.
It's a fascinating thing, and here are two guys who know him well. Jeff Darlington, who's covered him forever and is tight, and obviously, D. Wood, you started your career playing with him. And so, D. Wood, I'll start with you, because you talked about his legendary competitiveness. You saw it at the beginning of his career, and maybe that's one of the big reasons why he's still out there doing it as he's getting set to turn 44 years old.
Yeah, Greeny, but I want to touch, that's absolutely correct, and I want to touch on something he said. He said, you can't go back and do this again. And if you ask any former player, that's the thing that they really miss about the game. How you walk into the stadium with 80,000, you know, cheering you on or booing you. Like, it's the little things that you don't get the opportunity to do again. So for Tom Brady, yes, we know he's won 6 Super Bowls. He's been to 9. You know, he's had unprecedented success, the greatest quarterback of all time, in my opinion. But for him to be able to leave New England and go down to Tampa Bay and enjoy that type of environment, a different environment than the Patriot way, and ultimately win a Super Bowl, man, I'm like, go out there and play as long as you want, because you deserve and earn that right to go out there and do that.
The thing, though, about it, D. Wood, that's interesting is pretty much every former football player I've ever talked to, including you, said if it was just about Sunday, I would never have retired. I'd still be out there. But it's all the work that goes into it during the offseason. It's all the excruciating detail that you have to go through all week long. Yep. He embraces that. I mean, that's one of the things that separates him from a lot of other football players. What most people consider the grind is actually the part of it, D. Wood, that I think he loves the most.
Yeah, Greeny, that's what makes him special. Like, there's a lot of good play. Like, listen, when you play in the NFL, everyone is good. There are some great players. But then there are players that are just on another level. That's the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning. Those guys, they love it. They love the process. And that's what Tom Brady's talking about. He loves the process. He loves the grind, getting, you know, in the offseason, getting your body ready, for a 17-game schedule. The mini camps, the training camp, he embraces all of that. Those are elite traits that not a lot of guys have playing this game.
So, Jeff Darlington, again, you will always be a favorite on the show because you were the one who broke the news of his going to Tampa live on our show. What is your sense of this? How long do we expect this to continue?
Well, at least another year beyond this one, that's for sure. I think that, you know, it reminds me of something that somebody told me, and we talked about it actually on your air right before he became that free agent. And one of the things that I think people were misinterpreting was that he was going to pick a team that was going to be set up for a Super Bowl. And that wasn't always going to be the case. Like, for Tom Brady, it wasn't about, he felt like, as he said in this interview, he felt like his legacy was already set, that he didn't need another Super Bowl to prove anything. He was looking for other specificities in his next destination, and it just so turned out that he was able to will that team to a Super Bowl. But Greeny, when we were talking before he joined the Bucs, it wasn't like everybody was sitting there saying, oh, the Bucs, that team's loaded. They're going to make a Super Bowl run. We barely had them in the playoffs at that point. Yes, they're a talented team, but nobody's picking them to win the Super Bowl in 2020. That's something that Tom Brady willed that team to do.
Oh, 100%. I think I'm comfortable using the word scoffing. People scoffed at the idea that Tampa might be one of the places he would choose when we started going through that exercise. And lo and behold, here they are suddenly the team everybody wants to play for. Guys, sit tight. Much more football as we go. But now, to the return of the night, KD back and better than ever, I think, in every sense. Nets, Pelicans, Kevin Durant hadn't played in 2 months with a hamstring, and there he is, midway through the second quarter, checking in off the bench. That's mom. She loves it in Brooklyn. So do the fans. And perfect was the operative word of the night. Look at Durant, just silky smooth coming off that screen, looking like he hasn't missed a beat. Mom says, we've still got it. 2 minutes later, we got the Nets up by 11, and it's Durant, and he's in transition, and he's taking it strong, and you're not going to stop that. 9 points in just over 7 minutes of action in the first half for Durant. Third quarter, Brooklyn up 20, by the way. Durant, catch and shoot from three, looking awfully smooth. Now under 8 minutes to go in the third in transition. Just keep an eye on Durant. He's looking for the ball. Kyrie's going to get it to him. And Durant's going to remind everybody he's got range for days. 17 points, 5 for 5 from the floor, 5 assists, 7 rebounds. Nets win huge, and KD is back.
I expected to come out here and play the way I played. I wasn't trying to ease into the game. I just wanted to go out there and dive right into the action. Whatever coach throws at me, I got to be prepared for, and I'm sure he's going to try to toss some curveballs at me and see how I handle it, and I'm looking forward to it.
Ah, he dove right in, no question. The Durant played just 19 minutes, but his impact was obvious. The Nets outscored the Pelicans by 22 when he was on the floor. Shot nearly 20% better from the floor when he was out there. Pretty impressive for a player after missing his first game in almost 2 months. All right, coming up, Jerry Jones' draft infatuation. Would he really add another weapon for Dak instead of using his first round to pick up his awful defense? We'll talk about that. And Aaron Rodgers leaving his future in Green Bay beyond this season in question. Is there any way he finishes his career as a Packer? You've got questions, we've got answers as we get up with you.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Get up. Yesterday, social media was abuzz when this video came out of Dak Prescott throwing and working out at an indoor practice facility. Prescott, of course, suffered a brutal leg injury this past October. It appears to be on track in his recovery. And speaking of the Cowboys, in Todd McShay's latest mock draft, he has Dallas taking South Carolina cornerback J.C. Horn, who's the son of the former NFL receiver Joe Horn, looking to shore up a defense that was severely lacking last season. But earlier this week, our Chris Mortensen revealed Jerry Jones may have other plans for for draft day. Listen to this.
We're hearing this thing about Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, and the GM being infatuated with Kyle Pitts. So I have figured out that he's going to have to trade up to get Kyle Pitts. He spent $40 million a year on Dak Prescott, so why not go get Kyle Pitts? Or if he actually falls to 10, you couldn't rule him out.
Okay, so let's just dive into this here. To be clear, and Matt Miller, I don't want to step on your toes here. You're the draft expert. There's no conceivable chance Kyle Pitts slips to 10. Kyle Pitts, I think it is very likely, will be the first non-quarterback drafted. So not only is Jerry Jones, if he's going to do this, going to take an offensive player rather than defense, Matt, but he will have to trade up, trade other capital in order to do it. Do we have that right?
Yeah, you have that right. He's not falling to 10 overall. I can't see him getting past 6 overall. What's funny about this is about a week ago, you started hearing from scouts that, hey, Dallas loves Kyle Pitts. Like, okay, that's cute. He's not going to be there at 10. And then you have Shefty and Mort reporting things like, you know, Atlanta would be open to trading that number 4 pick. And you could pretty easily put the dots together of Atlanta basically saying, oh, you want Kyle Pitts? Come and get him. Now, the cost is not going to be the same as what we just saw San Francisco pay to move up to get a quarterback. That's something important to remember. But if Jerry Jones wants to build a super team on offense with Dak Prescott back, Tyron Smith back, you've got the great receiving core there. They drafted CeeDee Lamb in the first round last year. Oh, and you have Ezekiel Elliott. If you add Kyle Pitts to that offense, guys, no disrespect to Tampa Bay, that's the best offense in the NFC. They have a great offensive line. You got a very, very good quarterback. And if you add in the LeBron James of tight end prospects and Kyle Pitts, I don't know how you stop Dallas. So I understand Jerry saying, who needs defense when you can score 50 points again? The Kansas City's doing okay without a defense. Let's go get our guy.
Yeah, for folks who haven't seen Pitts, he's basically the next Travis Kelce. That is the projection of him. So just envision that weapon on your offense. Jeff Darlington, what are you hearing around the league? Jerry, you see him going up there to 4 to take a tight end?
Well, I think, first of all, I don't think that he'll trade all the way to 4 to get him. But I do think that this is a watershed moment potentially for that tight end position. Because if he does, in fact, go that early. And by the way, I could see him sliding past 4 a little bit, but I don't see him getting to 10 either. I just think that's a major moment for this position. I mean, the fact that this is a class loaded with really top-level wide receivers, and we're talking about this tight end as being the likely first skill position player taken in this draft. So I think this is a Travis Kelce, George Kittle, these guys have to be sitting there standing up, clapping their hands, saying, look at what's happening to this tight end position. And to that point, I think he's going very early.
Yeah, they've changed the sport. I mean, that position has changed the sport, and you look at the evolution of it over the last decade. But D. Wood, let's not bury the lead here. The Dallas Cowboys defense last year was atrocious, and everyone keeps telling me, Dan Quinn is the new defensive coordinator. He's going to fix all those problems. They better be paying him a lot of money if he's going to stop the run. They're going to need to get some help on defense, D. Wood. Would it make sense to you for them to take another offensive weapon rather than going defense?
Greeny, my head said, hell no. Like, you need – the Dallas Cowboys defense made me nauseous last year watching them. Okay, so my head was like, you got to go with a defensive player. But, Greeny, I need this to happen, Greeny. I want this to happen because it's the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, we're talking about the star, Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is all of – this is a typical type of Jerry Jones move. Okay, you go out there and trade up to get, in my opinion, the best prospect in the draft in Kyle Pitts, man, get your popcorn ready because that will be showtime in Dallas.
I'm with that. And look, I'm rooting for it, too. From that perspective, doesn't mean it makes any sense. As Chris Rock famously said, you can drive a car with your feet if you want to. It doesn't mean it's a good idea. Matt, if all the defensive players slide to 10, which is very possible, we could live in a world, if Jerry doesn't trade, well, I guess even if he does, that there could be the first 9 picks could all be offensive players. Who's the first defensive player then off the board, in your view?
Yeah, I think it would probably be Patrick Surtain, second from Alabama. We're talking about all these guys with, you know, NFL bloodlines, and he has some very good ones. So I think he is probably the odds-on favorite right now to be the first defender selected. That could be 8 at Carolina. Denver really short up their secondary by getting Kyle Fuller in free agency. But Dallas at 10 has seemed like a very good spot for Surtain. J.C. Horn from South Carolina also in the running there. But it seems like the first defender will be a corner this year.
That's my point. So that's who they'd be passing up. That's the player, the opportunity, maybe the whoever they deem to be the best defensive player in the whole draft is what they'd be passing on. Let's leave that there for the moment. Much more football as we go. But now the game of the night in the NBA. Two best teams in the sport, and it lived up in every way. Devin Booker and the Suns hosting the Jazz. Pick it up in the fourth, under 20 seconds to go. Booker, no. Jazz going the other way. Suns are up by three, but Donovan Mitchell has other ideas. Look at him knocking down a tough shot in transition, and we're all tied. So the Suns get one more opportunity to win it. In regulation, where are you going to go with the ball? Devin Booker at the buzzer for the win. No good. We go to overtime, tied at 102. The Jazz have not won an overtime game in 3 years. And right off the opening tip, you get a sense of why. They're not ready to go. Who's going to play some defense here? Devin Booker, right off the overtime tip, takes it strong to the hole. Suns get the lead. 2 minutes to go now. Suns are up by five. It's Mitchell again. How good was he in this game? Look at the spin. Look at the float. 41 for Mitchell. One shy of his season high. But it wasn't enough. Just over a minute to go. Suns up by three. Booker is trapped. Where are you going to go? CP3. Putting the three in his name. Jazz still can't win in overtime. Suns take it 117-113. And suddenly, the race in the West is heating up. The Suns are just a game and a half back of Utah for the top seed. However, despite the Suns' current run, our analytics still give Utah an 89% chance of being the one seed in the West. Meanwhile, we've got great NBA action coming your way. Saturday, primetime on ABC. Lakers playing the third game of their five-game East Coast trip against KD and Kyrie and the Nets. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 8 Eastern. It's on ABC and, again, always available on the ESPN app. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers' future is in jeopardy, figuratively and maybe even literally. Could that future be closer than we think in Green Bay? Plus, could there be a quarterback competition brewing in Carolina? They've got one. Should they draft another? We're diving into that as we roll along. And a little sneaky Hembo time for Chris Canty, who's going to jump in here. Who are the two quarterbacks drafted number 3 overall, like Sam Darnold, that started in the Super Bowl? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN2.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and Aaron Rodgers' future continues to be an enormous topic of discussion. Both he and the Packers have remained cagey about how much time he has left in Green Bay. And earlier this week, our Adam Schefter had this to say on the matter on Get Up.
I think if Aaron Rodgers drank truth serum and had his choice, he would move on to another place that hadn't traded up to get a quarterback in the first round.
That is fascinating. So is this. Chris Canty has joined us here. Delighted to have you. He's hosting KJZ this morning, coming across the hall. Good to have you here. But Jeff Darlington, I will start with you. What are you hearing from across the league in reaction to this? Cagey is the right word. They didn't extend the contract. Both sides are just not talking much about it. What do you think?
Cagey is a great word for this one, Greeny. And I think that Aaron Rodgers has not really, I don't know, held any secrets. He's not really holding the cards to his chest here. I think he's being pretty honest in everything he's saying. I mean, I know he told Kenny Mayne on our air, basically, that it's not up to me. And there is a point in that. It'll be interesting to see if Green Bay comes to the table and says, Aaron, you're our guy. We want to keep you here for the rest of your career. To this point, that hasn't necessarily happened. And I don't think it's necessarily simply in the cryptic, we'll call them cryptic points of drafting a guy in Jordan Love. It's much more obvious. It's contractual. It's different issues like that. So I think his relationship with Matt LaFleur is very good. I don't think we should dismiss the success that this offense has had the past two seasons. That being said, it's very clear that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers organization is at an impasse here.
All right, so let's look at the Canty crystal ball. Will this be Aaron Rodgers' final season as a Packer?
Greeny, I'm going to lean towards saying yes. And Green Bay, as an organization, has been sending the same message to Aaron Rodgers for the last calendar year, which is, we're preparing for life after you. They drafted Jordan Love last year. This year, they weren't able to come to an agreement in terms of working out some contractual issues to lower his cap number. They paid out his bonus a couple of weeks ago. All of those moves set up the Green Bay Packers so they could go year to year with Aaron Rodgers. And after you had him express his concern about the contract and wanting to be able to end his tenure with the Packers on his own terms, it's hard not to imagine Aaron Rodgers staying with the Green Bay Packers to finish out the rest of his career.
And D-Wood, there's two different ways to look at this. We can interpret the fact that they drafted a quarterback last year as a personal affront. But there's another significance to it, D-Wood, which is maybe he's got a little bit of Brady envy. He sees Tom Brady down there in Tampa and a franchise that's literally dedicating every resource they possibly have to winning right now in this little window that Brady has left. And he looks at the Packers and says, if you're drafting my heir apparent, you're not doing that. I want to finish my career somewhere where they're doing that. To me, D-Wood, that would make sense.
It would, Greeny. It definitely would. And I think Aaron Rodgers is not making a whole bunch of noise about everything. He's just letting everything play itself out. But I can definitely see that scenario playing itself out. What if a guy like, what if Aaron Rodgers were to pair up with Sean Payton down in New Orleans with the Saints? Mm. I mean, that would be something serious right there. The Saints have one of the best front offices in the National Football League. Obviously, Sean Payton, one of the best play callers. You get a guy like Aaron Rodgers down there, boy, you talk about an opportunity to continue to try to win Super Bowls for the New Orleans Saints.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and there are any number. Look, how many places wouldn't give their left arm to have Aaron Rodgers? So right. Let me ask you this, Jeff. Has the chatter around the league gone so far as to start considering places that he might wind up? Are you hearing those kinds of conversations?
Nothing. I mean, I have these conversations with NFL types, but nothing beyond exactly what we're doing now, you know, just kind of having fun with it at this point. I don't think that teams are seriously considering a run at Aaron Rodgers at this point. So maybe that speaks to sort of where the situation is. But it's so funny you bring up the Bucs, like, and Jason Light. Like, it is kind of wild how his appreciation and affection and the idea of winning right now has sort of become infectious around the league. Like, this is a league, by the way, where front offices never viewed one player as being that significant, whereas Jason Light's saying, we're going to win Super Bowls, and we're going to do everything that we can to win now. Other quarterbacks are paying attention.
There are a lot of factors at play in all of this, guys. Sit tight, because right now I'm putting Chris Canty under the microscope. Here we go, big fella. A lot of pressure on you. Here's the question from Sneaky Hembo. Sam Darnold was drafted number 3 overall, as you are well aware. There are two quarterbacks drafted number 3 overall who started Super Bowls. Can you name them?
I can't name them off the top of my head. I got to think on this one a little bit.
We don't have time for that. We're live as we speak.
Well, usually you give me a break and I'm able to come back. And
I understand that.
I have no idea. I was thinking Donovan McNabb. He's the second overall pick, not the third overall pick. I have no clue.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I didn't get it either, and I had plenty of time to think about it. But they are names you know. It's Matt Ryan and Steve McNair. Matt Ryan and Steve McNair. Let the record show, not one person in this studio, we were all throwing these, not one person mentioned either of those names. So, Canty, you're off the hook.
Okay.
Meanwhile, let's talk about Sam Darnold. He was traded, as everybody knows by now, to the Panthers for 3 draft picks earlier this week. Carolina ready to move on from Teddy Bridgewater. Yesterday on this show, Dan Graziano addressing the possibility that if Justin Fields should fall to the Panthers at 8, what they might do.
If Fields is sitting there at 8 and they believe Justin Fields is a better long-term play for them than Sam Darnold, then yes, I believe they would consider it and possibly even take him.
All right, so there's a lot to unpack there. And again, we opened the show, for those of you who are not with us, with the news that they're going to have another pro day in Columbus and the 49ers are going to go see that. Maybe Fields isn't sitting there after all. But, Jeff Darlington, I'll ask you the same question I asked Graziano. Having now traded for Sam Darnold, if a quarterback the caliber of Fields is sitting there at 8, Do you think Carolina takes him?
Man, that is a fascinating question. And you like how I'm using words to try to procrastinate with my answer? I have no idea. But you've got to consider it, right? Like, number eight, Justin Fields is there. You're a team that, I mean, I get the intrigue of Sam Darnold, but ultimately, like, we've seen more from Sam Darnold than we have from Justin Fields in the NFL. And generally, the rule of thumb there is that the mystery is intriguing. So I don't know, man. I think they have to really consider if he's there at eight.
If he falls to there, one has to also assume that there will be teams looking to trade up to get him. So Carolina will have a lot of interesting decisions to make. D. Wood, you've watched every snap of Sam Darnold's career. If you're Matt Rhule, if you're running the Carolina Panthers right now and Fields falls to you at eight, would you draft him?
I think you do. I think you do. I think
see?
That's the one position you got to try to solve. You got to keep throwing darts at it to try to figure the quarterback situation out. And I get it. I understand that they traded for Sam Darnold and gave up a 6, a 2, and a 4 next year. I get all of that. But when you got an opportunity to get another highly graded quarterback and a guy in Justin Fields who's, very talented, man, why not? Why not go for it? You figure everything else will sort itself out as far as those two battling at the quarterback position.
What you can't see is Chris Canty vigorously shaking his head. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback at 8, even if Justin Fields is there. And it has nothing to do with having conviction on either player, although I love Justin Fields. I think the 49ers should take him at 3. But that's an aside. When you look at the finances of the situation, the Carolina Panthers have already let it be known they're going to pick up Sam Darnold's fifth-year option that pays him around $19 million. And you couple that with his salary of $5 million this year, that's a $24 million commitment. So it seems like the Carolina Panthers are going to give Sam Darnold every opportunity to prove that he is the answer long-term at the quarterback position. And if I'm going to do that, then I've got to make sure that the right supporting cast is around Darnold in order to get a true evaluation of him. I mean, that's been the story of his career with Jets his first 3 years. So to me, it would be address the offensive line with the 8th overall pick because that group is shaky. He's got great skill position players to go along with. This is a 2-year trial for Sam Darnold. I think Matt Rhule and company have to give it every opportunity to succeed.
Yeah, if a guy like Penei Sewell could fall to them at number 8, that would seem like a very logical pick. The other side of that, though, if I could push back on a little, is if you add up what Darnold is getting paid and what the first round pick there would be getting paid, it's a lot less than a lot of other teams are paying for the quarterback position to try and then sort it out between those two guys. You think money is the big factor, or do you think the belief in Darnold is the big factor?
Well, I think the evaluation of Darnold is the big factor.
Yeah.
And so if you're Matt Rhule, it just makes sense with your quarterback making below market money. It makes sense to try to use those resources that you're saving at the position and put it in other areas of your team. And again, coming back to seeing what Sam Darnold is going to be capable of the next couple of years.
I would trade back a spot or two. If you're Carolina and you get there and Fields is still on the board, you know there's going to be teams out that are going to want to come up, New England, Denver, maybe some others. I think trading back would be a real possibility. CC will rejoin us a little bit later. Go back for KJ's email. And I'm going to run the bases here through some of the good action from the majors last night. Busy night at the plate. Orioles, Yankees, bottom of 8. Gio Urshela driving in the tying run. That's Adam Talkman. But in the 11th, trailing by 1, it's Urshela tagging from 3rd. And take a look at this play at the plate. Anthony Santander's coming up with the throw. And this is how the ball game is going to end. 4-3 Orioles, the winners in 11. Elsewhere, despite a quality start from the newest Dodger, Trevor Bauer, Mitch Moreland and the A's came up clutch, walk-off single to record their first win of the season. Bauer did allow 2 runs, 10 strikeouts, but got no decision in the loss. And then the biggest story in baseball is Akil Badu continued his hot start for the season for the Tigers, clocking in the fastest triple of the year, adding an outfield assist. It was, however, not enough. Tigers fell to the Twins by a score of 3-2. Meanwhile, on this day in 1974, one of the legendary moments in baseball history, Hank Aaron passing Babe Ruth on his way to immortality. And this is the way it sounded on this day in 1974.
Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. To the fence, it is gone.
He did it! He did it! Henry Aaron is the all-time home run leader now.
One of the great moments in the history of the sport. Coming up, Antonio Brown has publicly stated his interest in coming back to Tampa. But is there another spot he may wind up? We're talking about it next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back on Get Up, and after starting the final four games of last season, Jalen Hurts will enter next year as the Eagles' QB1. Meanwhile, his number one receiver, Jalen Reagor, had some flattering things to say about the QB. Give a listen.
Man, all I tell people, he's a winner. He's a very versatile quarterback. He's smart. And, like, you know, like you said, just the aura of him. Like, he, you know, he comes in the huddle, demands the huddle. And he didn't let him being a rookie, like, dictate how he play or how he – his swagger. He keeps the same swagger.
So, Matt Miller, take us back to a year ago in the evaluation of Jalen Hurts, who's someone that I think most people were somewhat surprised went as early in the draft as he did. And here he is a year later, finds himself with his own team and an opportunity to really take control of that job. Take us back to the evaluation, your expectation, and what you've seen from him.
Yeah, I really thought he would be a second or third round pick. So it was a small surprise that he went 53 overall. I think more so a surprise that he went to Philadelphia where they had Carson Wentz. But I liked Jalen Hurts as a player who would be in year two an NFL starter. My comparison for him was Dak Prescott, a quarterback who has very good mobility, can move to throw, doesn't have the strongest arm, but is accurate to those intermediate levels. I think the key with Jalen Hurts, what we saw going from Alabama to Oklahoma, he got with Lincoln Riley, he worked on his mechanics, he loosened up his delivery. That made him more accurate. I'm really excited to see where he takes that moving forward with a full offseason. We got to remember these rookie quarterbacks didn't have a preseason last year. They didn't have an offseason last year. So Jalen Hurts was really thrown into a tough situation. But I think the key is this offense, like Jalen Reagor said, they played better with Jalen Hurts. There was a lot more energy out on the field. The numbers went up as well. So I believe in him as the future starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles and hope they now put that system around him where he can go succeed and show the traits that he showed at Alabama, at Oklahoma. This guy won at every level of football before the NFL. I think he'll continue to do it.
Well, you know what I believe in? I believe in Damian Woody's crystal ball. So D. Wood came on this show and made a bold prediction before the season. He said Jalen Hurts will start games for the Eagles this year, and we all scoffed, and of course you were right. So now I'll ask for your crystal ball again. Is he going to claim that job? At the end of next season, will we say, that's it, the Philadelphia Eagles are Jalen Hurts' football team?
Greeny, I do, because I believe in exactly what Jalen Reagor was talking about, just the control and the leader of men. That's those are the intangibles that quarterbacks have to have in this league. And we know that the Eagles are in rebuilding mode, but they got some assets where they can surround Jalen Hurts. And I just believe in the person that Jalen Hurts is. We've seen it from Alabama to Oklahoma. He's gotten better. But the one trait that he's carried all the way through is he's always been a leader of men. He's always been able to galvanize, you know, his teammates. So he can carry that along. I think he'll be entrenched as a quarterback for the Eagles moving forward.
And, Jeff, what do we know about the plans there? They trade back in the first round, so clearly they're in a rebuilding position, and they've got some of the ammunition now to try and do it.
Yeah, well, here's another thing. I actually am among the few who maybe know a little bit more about Nick Sirianni and actually believe that he's in a really good person for this job. I know that he's been under fire since he got hired, mostly because he's such an unknown, but I think he was very largely responsible for a lot of the success in Indianapolis. I know we give it to Frank Reich, but Nick also really put that team in a good spot. So coupling him with Jalen Hurts, I think, is one of the more underrated storylines of this coming season. I think that there's some real potential for this duo to maybe surprise some people this season.
That would be a fascinating thing to watch. Again, that looks like a team that might be building for a year or two down the line. If they were to start making some hay in a division where no one had a winning record last year, maybe that wouldn't be all that surprising. Meanwhile, let's talk about a player who's looking for a home, and that is Antonio Brown. Now, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens were in the news yesterday because this video came out of Lamar Jackson, Hollywood Brown, and Antonio Brown working out together. So let's start contemplating the possibilities there. Last year, the Ravens' passing game was certainly less than ideal. The receivers had 17 touchdowns, finished in the bottom half of the league in yards per catch and yards after the catch, and they were dead last in total receiving yards. Antonio Brown certainly, you would assume, would be able to help with that to some degree. And, of course, they've brought in Sammy Watkins. Jeff, what is the latest as far as Antonio Brown's quest for a new team?
Well, he is at an impasse with the Bucs in terms of their contract talks, so he is treating this like a true free agency. The question, of course, becomes whether another team is willing to offer more money than the Bucs. The Bucs recognize that they believe that his best fit is with Tom Brady in Tampa, and everybody around the league that I talk to believes the same. That being said, if another team, we talk about, I think we always connect Baltimore and Seattle because their quarterbacks have been very outspoken about their level of appreciation and willingness to play with Brown. So if Seattle or Baltimore were to step up and offer Antonio more money at this point, and maybe a little bit more security in terms of a long-term contract, I could definitely see him taking one of those two.
What would you think of the fit, Damian Woody? Antonio Brown in that offense with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore?
Well, listen, I think it would be a good fit. I don't think it would be the ultimate solution to what ails the Baltimore Ravens passing game, but to bring in a veteran like Antonio Brown, listen, we know about his work ethic as far as in practice and being able to go out there and do things during the game. Lamar Jackson need more reliable weapons on the outside to bring out the most of him in the passing game. But I think the Baltimore Ravens need to continue to add to that in the draft. So while I do feel like Antonio Brown will bring an element to the Baltimore Ravens offensively, he's not going to be enough to, in my opinion, to take the Baltimore Ravens offensively where they need to be.
And then, Matt, for those who have not followed this closely, because everyone knows the names Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle and Devontae Smith, this is an NFL draft that is overloaded with really good receiving prospects, and you can sort of take your choice. Yep. You can get the small, fast ones. You can get the big, physical ones, depending on the offense. What is your sense of the Ravens maybe going that direction in the draft?
Yeah, Greeny, I think the one thing to point out here is that AB is a lot like the player they have, Marquise Brown. They have one receiver over 6'3", and that's Miles Boykin, who is not the most physical route runner in the world. So when I look at Baltimore and they need a wide receiver, I look at people like Terrace Marshall Jr., a wide receiver from LSU who's 6'3" and ran a 4.38 at his pro day. So they need size. You have to expand the strike zone of Lamar Jackson, who is dynamic as a quarterback, but maybe not the most accurate. So if you give him a big body, a versatile wide receiver who can win the 50-50 balls, who can post up, think of all the wonderful things Mark Andrews does in that offense. Now you give him someone with the speed to separate from defensive backs instead of a small wide receiver. I think Terrace Marshall at 27 is too good of a fit to pass up if he's on the board.
Yeah, 13 touchdown catches the year they won the national championship 2 years ago, 10 more this past year, and is projected to go right in that range, late first round, early second, so that does seem like a logical place. All right, much more as we go on this. Meanwhile, let me get up and go with some other news, and this, of course, very disturbing from yesterday. Police say that excess speed caused the crash that seriously injured Tiger Woods, whose SUV was traveling more than 80 miles an hour when he lost control. He was going 75 miles an hour when he hit the tree. No charges will be filed. Police say there were no signs that Woods was impaired. In other news, Arizona has fired basketball coach Sean Miller amidst an NCAA investigation. Last month, the NCAA charged the school with 5 level 1 violations and accused Miller of not promoting an atmosphere of compliance. Previously, one of Miller's assistants pleaded guilty to federal charges. And in other news, Rafa Nadal's quest for a 14th French Open will have to wait a week The tournament has been postponed by 1 week due to the ongoing pandemic. It will now start on May 30th with the hope that more fans will be able to attend. As we roll on, Justin Fields getting a second chance to make a first impression. That's news that could change everything in the draft. And it's next as we get up with you.